Morning. Joining us for the first time in 2019, it's Rice County Sheriff Troy Dunn. Good morning.
Happy New Year, Jeff.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah.
You're looking pretty casual today.
Well, I dressed down a little bit today. I've got a doctor's appointment. I don't mm-hmm. want to scare everybody out of the clinic when I walk in, so
it's
I
a
dressed
raid.
Down a little bit. So.
Well, how was your Christmas and New Year's?
Great, great. Mm-hmm. It was great to get together with friends and family and see everybody and make new Griswold stories for next year and years to come to talk about. So, no, it's always fun. And I was telling Terry, I only got called in one time over the holiday season for a bad crash. And so we're very fortunate that, you know, we didn't have a lot of serious injury crashes. And our DWIs were pretty, average for the holiday season, so I was really happy with that. Obviously, I would love to see zero arrests and zero crashes, but, in the one bad crash we did have, two gentlemen were airlifted out, and it appears that it's going to be alcohol-related, so, that's not going to help our statistics here in Rice County, so that just tells us we still have work to do here and keep getting the message out about, the dangers of impaired driving and distracted driving and everything else. And we had one of our deputies assisting on the interstate had a crash during one of our slippery evenings, and his squad was run into by another motorist. And again, those are preventable, Jeff, and I keep preaching to people that, be cautious, slow down in inclement weather, and when you see emergency vehicles, don't wait till you're right on them to slow down and brake and everything else. Slow down before you get there, move over, give them room to work. And, fortunately, he got the clearance to come back to work yesterday, so he was out of work for about a week, and hopefully there won't be any lasting effects of that. But again, just doing his job on the interstate and somebody going too fast and hit the squad.
Well, you can lose control of the vehicle so quick, especially on the interstate.
Yeah.
And you don't know, if there's going to be an icy spot or
right.
what the roads are like. And, if you're cruising too fast and not paying enough attention and you look up and all of a sudden
yep.
There's a squad car there.
There's a squad car. There's a maintenance yeah. vehicle. Mm-hmm. Last month we had a MnDOT vehicle get struck on the interstate, and the driver that hit that vehicle was seriously injured. And, again, if that MnDOT vehicle wouldn't have been there protecting these three or four workers that were replacing the median center barrier from a previous crash, had it not hit that truck, those workers would have been hit. So again, people just need to remember to slow down. If it's below freezing, expect it to be slippery somewhere. Mm-hmm. Just because you can see the pavement, you can see the white lines, doesn't mean okay, I can go 70, 75 and get going. And remember that conditions can change from time to time. Our bridge decks are, especially in the mornings, tend to ice up, with frost. And you go through a certain area where it's open and the sun's shining on it during the daytime, it might be good. But then you get into a shaded area where the trees are blocking the sun, and then you could have slippery mm-hmm. road conditions there. So, expect that it's going to be somewhat slippery in the wintertime and drive. A lot of people think, the speed limit's 70, so I can go 70 all the time. And, I want to remind people you got to drive to the conditions and slow down and just couple other tips, because I had somebody else ask me, well, what's some of the best advice you can give me about winter driving? And I'm like, well, obviously slow down is the first thing, but another thing, people like to use their cruise control, which I tell people, use your cruise control to prevent you from getting a speeding ticket if you set it at the speed limit in good driving conditions. But if it's slippery, you don't want to be using your cruise control because it loses traction, it starts to spin, and then you hear that, and it might pull one way or the other, and then people lose control. And then brake before the turns, execute a turn, and then accelerate after the turn. A lot of people will brake in the turn, and then you lose control or lose traction, and next thing you know, you're on the wrong side of the road or in the ditch and up against a tree.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you see that happen. Once again, we're talking with Troy Dunn, the Rice County Sheriff. Sheriff, let's talk about, I want to talk a little bit more about December.
Okay.
Driving, just public safety overall. First of all, have you seen the statistics for your office? Do you know how many like DWIs and how many related type of incidents that you had over the course of the holiday season?
Well, over that, from Christmas Eve to New Year's Day, we had four people booked into the Rice County Jail for DWI-related charges. One of them was from the sheriff's office. One was from Faribault Police Department. And then I believe Northfield had one and State Patrol had one. So everybody shared in the not so much fun. But, you know, like I said, I'd love to see that come to work and see zero arrests and zero crashes. And like I said, that serious injury crash we had prior to Christmas, that, you know, that is very sad. These people are still in the hospital, and they went through a T intersection, went through a stop sign. They were fortunate that they didn't hit another vehicle coming, because the east-west traffic did not have a stop sign. And so had they come through at the wrong time, they could have seriously injured or killed somebody else. And so,
wow.
You know, I don't, for the whole month of December, I don't know where we're at, but, you know, we made it through the year. Our fatalities are down from last year, so that's going to be a great thing to talk about, and I hope we continue to push towards zero deaths statewide, but specifically in Rice County. So
let's talk about public safety outside of driving, outside of the roads, because there are, you know, the holiday season brings out the best and the worst in people, as I'm sure you're well aware.
Yeah.
You know, there's scams going on. There's people stealing this and that. There's often conflicts within the family units as well. Do you see a lot of that over the course of December? Is it increased?
We see a fair amount of it at the holidays. You get people together during the holidays that maybe don't see each other, and for whatever reason, and then you know, emotions are high, and you know, it's sad to see. Sometimes when you lose a loved one, you know, you instead of families coming together, families push each other further away sometimes, like that. So we see that from time to time. Unfortunately, when some people get together on the holidays and they overindulge on the alcoholic beverages, then next thing you know, they're fighting, and then we're getting called to, you know, escort somebody out of there, give them a ride somewhere else. And so it's kind of sad to see that. I didn't see a significant uptick from years past.
Mm-hmm.
This year, you know, I think it was still, you know, probably a couple calls through the weekend. So, but again, it's really sad. You know, this is the time of year you're supposed to get together and reflect and be happy and joyous for everything we have, and be thankful for it. So unfortunately, sometimes they don't, and that's why we need law enforcement.
you know that does happen, but there's also good things that happen, and we can talk about that for a moment, because your staff, the sheriff's department, you did a lot of good things over the course of the holidays.
Yeah, I'm very blessed to have great staff, and every year we try to do something to give back. And I said, you know, when I first started as sheriff, people would hear, "Sheriff, here's a gift, and thanks for being a great boss," and stuff like that. And I said, instead of giving each other gifts, let's give to those that are in more need. And so we started giving tree, where we put a Christmas tree up in our break room, and we put postcards in there of things that people need, families need, kids, adults, everything. So this year we had four families that we gave to throughout the county, and you know, we filled up four squad cars full of gifts for these families. And to see these kids' faces when we walked in, and even the parents, and, you know, the tears of joy and the kids' excitement, and to see that, you know, Christmas was going to be here, and there still is a Santa Claus, you know, and it was just so cool to see. And, you know, we did that along with Northfield Police Department through the Hope Center, and then Faribault Fire Department, Faribault Police Department were just a few others that helped. Northfield Ambulance, North Ambulance, and myself and Sergeant Paula Roach went and helped deliver gifts in Northfield, and he'd never done that before. He was just on the way back to our office. He just said, "Boss, thanks for letting me do this. This was, I'm not going to forget this." And then our jail staff, that, and you know, and I don't want to forget, so many people see, they see the deputies because they're out and about, but I've got great support staff, in, including my correctional officers that are kind of behind the scenes. You don't see them unless you're on the inside of the sheriff's office. And they put together a food drive all on their own, and they broke up into two teams, and the winning team got to throw a pie in the face of the team captain. So our jail administrator, Jake Marinenko, was the team captain of the one team, and our assistant jail administrator, Stephanie Doom, was the team captain. Well, Stephanie's team won, so one of the correctional officers on Stephanie's team got to throw a pie in the face of our jail administrator, and the pictures are priceless. If you want to go on our sheriff's office Facebook page and see that, it's pretty hilarious. But again, the bottom line is we were giving back to those that didn't have enough food for the season and needed it. And you know, when they delivered that to the food shelf, it was just like, you know, tears of joy, and it's so good. So kudos to my staff for doing this. I appreciate that. And thank you to all the partners that worked with us and the Giving Tree as well. Words can't do it justice, yeah. That's for sure.
That's a neat thing. And hopefully, you know, you'll be around long enough that someday maybe some young adult will come in and say, "Hey, that present really made a difference in my life, changed my attitude towards law enforcement." And,
yeah.
And, yeah, you never know what's going to happen. You never
and
know.
I would be poorly representing the Salvation Army if I didn't thank everybody that helped out with the kettle campaign this year and everybody that donated to that. And hopefully next year, I don't have the final numbers from Ed and Gina Lill yet, but I'm hoping to have great news. I hope we came close to our goal of $50,000, but if not, we've got new ideas and things for next year. We, the church, one church in Faribault, Our Saviors, asked if they could put a little kettle at their up by their altar, and then the kids would come up and put offering, and when they would pass the offering plates for everybody else, then it would give the kids a chance to go up and put something in there. And just by doing that for 3 weeks in the month of December, raised $845.
Wow.
I mean, and that's $845 we wouldn't have had, you know, we not said, "Hey, let's just put a bucket up there. Salvation Army, how can, you know, we give to them?" And put I didn't have to ring the bell. I put it up there when they first asked, rang the bell, and I said, "Everybody knows what that sounds for." And, you know, the rest of the month, people would come up and just put stuff in. So that's $845 that's going to go to help somebody right now that can't pay their heat bill or needs a place to stay because they lost their house or suffered a fire or something else. You know, and we still have people in Morristown and other parts of the county, throughout the county, that are still dealing with the effects of the tornado. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, you know, they're the first ones out there, out there helping. So
you bet.
Hey, let's, that was all 2018. Let's move forward 2019. And on a professional level, this is the sheriff talking.
Okay.
The New Year's resolutions and what you'd like to see. But really, you know, are there any certain priorities in 2019? If you look, you know, forward to the course of the year, we'd like to have, you know, this accomplished. Anything in particular that comes to mind?
Well, I think first and foremost, we need to continue to work on the finding help for our mental health issues that we're having. And when we're dealing with mental health issues daily at the sheriff's office and in law enforcement, and not having the appropriate amount of treatment facilities and beds for people that are in serious crisis, help, you know, relief for the hospitals. Our emergency rooms are just, you know, not only dealing with scratches and broken bones and everything, but mental health is a huge thing there. And I think that, you know, we as a community, we as a state, we as a nation need to work on finding more help for the people in mental health crisis. And, you know, it's taxing on the system, but, you know, we see different things and we all have priorities. And yeah, education is important. Roads are important, but, you know, taking care of our citizens is really important, and including those that are in mental health crisis. And Jeff, I'm sure, you know, you could just sit back for a couple seconds and think, yeah, I know this friend or relative that is dealing with mental health issues. It touches everybody out there. And so that's, I think, has to continue to be a priority for public safety and our state as well. And then, you know, we need to continue to talk about safe driving habits. I mean, you know, these crashes are preventable, and people just need to, if everybody takes ownership in it, it's going to make a difference. And crashes affect friends and family as well, and it doesn't make it any easier. I've been doing this for 31 years now, and it still is not easy to go and tell a loved one that, I'm sorry, your loved one was killed in a crash, or your loved one died of suicide, had committed suicide. So we need to continue to, you know, get help for those in need, be responsible drivers and things like that. And, you know, then I think my hope is for, you know, to in working with for my budget for 2020, it will be to get body cams for our deputies and correctional officers. I think that's going to be a helpful thing. We've had squad car cameras for over 20 years now, and that is a great help. But, you know, when you get away from the squad car, you can't capture something. So I think body cameras will be a great help.
All right. You know, back to the mental health, that is an issue that is just more and more forcing itself to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see from a political standpoint, that's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to have to pay for that. It's going to be tax dollars. Mm-hmm. From a political standpoint, do you see more of a more favor gaining? Is there more of a political appetite to start focusing on maybe some more closely regional centers and such? Or,
well, we've had those conversations, and, you know, I mean, all of our representatives and senators, you know, if you ask them what's law enforcement asking for, what's, you know, the communities looking, counties and cities looking for, that's going to probably be their first answer, but they don't have the answer yet either, because, yes, it's going to take money, and so they have to, as a whole body, decide what's the best way to spend that money. And I would love to see something regional. You know, right now, if we have to take somebody somewhere or have them transported, it's usually by ambulance. And so there's, for instance, taken from the Northfield ER to a facility in Fargo, North Dakota, or Sioux Falls, South Dakota, or Wilmer. You know, I mean, it's not just like, oh, let's just run up to St. Paul and drop them off. And then they have to have hearings, because to make sure that they still need to be committed. So then the sheriff's office has to run up there and pick them up, bring them back from a hearing. That's a 2-day trip. If I have to send somebody to Fargo, North Dakota to pick somebody up, you know, that's a long drive. I can't ask them to pick that person up, bring them to court, and then take them back, and then come back to Faribault. Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to put them up in a hotel and things like that, or send extra staff. And so it is taxing on the whole system. But I would love to see something. You know, we've talked about where could we put it in Faribault or Northfield, or is Owatonna a better choice? Is there some place in Northfield? You know, I kind of think in the southeast Minnesota, you know, our region is made up of 13 counties in southeast. You have Rice County that's right on Interstate 35, and you've got Olmsted County that's right on Highway 52. I think those two places would be a great spot if you could come up with it. And I'm willing to sit down and work with whoever to come up with these answers for us, because that would make it so much better. Because when that ambulance is on a transport to Fargo, North Dakota, and they have another serious injury crash on the interstate, or you have a stroke or a heart attack in Northfield, you know, there's a delay there now because you're one less ambulance, you know. You have an ambulance covering down in Faribault because they're taking two mental health transfers out and they've got nobody in Faribault. So now a Northfield ambulance goes down to cover, and then they have to bring somebody over from that might be covering the Elko Lonsdale area over closer to Northfield, so they're kind of in the middle. So it's taxing on the whole system, and I just love to see something more regional. I think that's a great idea.
All right. Sheriff, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining
us. Jeff. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Have a wonderful 2019, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Well.
That's our Rice County Sheriff Troy Dunn. We've got Terry standing by with local news update in just a moment or so.